We always got to give a few moments to let the crowd come in. I got to open up the chat box. Okay, there we go. We're going to be in for a treat tonight. We've got half of the duo here, so but Josh is going to knock it out of the park with us. It's again, we got to be cognizant of what time of the year it is. It's harvest time. Farmers are very slow on the roads, and we just have to give them a little bit of patience and be safe. And please don't do anything that puts anybody in harm. And don't go into grain bins without security straps on. Don't get around PTO shafts. All these things we got to be aware of. This is a busy time of the year. We put in long hours, and people get, their mind gets to be in different places. So please, everyone, be safe, be calm, and buckle in because we're in for a ride tonight. I got my beautiful wife Carol with me tonight, and we have Josh Tickell as a guest this evening. So the usual giddy up, let's go. Josh, how you doing?
I'm great, Rick. How are
Good.
you? How are you, Carol?
Great, except for the cold, yucky, rainy
In
weather in Indiana.
Indiana weather, yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
it's getting on. It's fall. It's getting there,
Well,
you know.
getting us
Yeah.
prepped.
Well, Josh, I'm gonna ask you the same question I ask every guest that's been in your seat. What is on your mind right now?
Well, as you well know, because you're both in the movie, we're releasing a film across the country called Common Ground. I think that's partially the subject of our conversation tonight.
Sure
So
is.
what's on my mind is that this Friday and Saturday, the film releases across in some very interesting places in the Midwest, very cool places. And what's on my mind is I wonder if people in those places, which are largely agricultural,
Yeah.
are going to see a movie that is largely about agriculture.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering tonight.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
that makes total sense. So let's just go ahead and dive in a little bit here. You premiered the movie, and Carol and I were fortunate enough to make the one of the first premieres, which was Tribeca, New York. That's
Yep.
the big film festival.
Yeah,
So
we all went to the big city. Yeah.
Now, Josh, this is not your first rodeo, so can you build up a little bit of your history here? Why did you wind up, Kiss the Ground is huge, huge. And folks, if you want to see Kiss the Ground, you can do it. Netflix, and is there any other media, Josh, that we
It's
can?
on every major streaming platform. So
Okay.
whether you have Prime or Vudu or any Apple
Okay.
TV, it's on every streaming platform.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So go see Kiss the Ground. That'll get you prepped up for Common Ground. And Josh, tell us, what, how did you get here?
Well, it's an interesting story. It's interesting that you should ask, Rick.
Yeah.
Interesting that you should ask. I began looking at environmental solutions when I was young because I lived in Louisiana in a place that's called Cancer Alley or Cancer Corridor.
Yeah.
It's the refinery center of the United States. It makes 50% of the nation's gasoline down there. So between Baton Rouge and Houston, it's about a 100-mile stretch of highway on I-10, there's about 150 petrochemical facilities, so more than 1 mile. Now they're dotted around, but
Oh, wow.
according to the Times-Picayune, which is the big paper out of Louisiana, the cancer rates are 800 times the national average in that area. So it hasn't been a major environmental review since 1978. And I watched my family as a young man, I watched people get sick and I watched people die from all of these strange diseases, lymphoma, leukemia, all one after another after another. So, my mom had nine miscarriages, on and on and on. It was a real unusual sequence of very, very, very unusual cancers, one after another. And as a young person, I became extremely interested in the connection between environment and health. What is the connection between our environment and our health? Why are in some places do people get very sick, lots of them, and why in some places are people healthy? And what's the difference? What are the solutions to this problem? That's what drove me. At a very, very early age, I started looking at water quality, started doing water quality tests, got kicked out of the science fair because
You mean 18 years old, 17 years old?
Oh, I'm talking high school. That was my high school passion, was water quality tests. That's what I did. I tested all the local rivers, and the person who was in charge of judging the state science fair worked for the Department of Environmental Quality.
Imagine that.
Now, if you understand how the DEQ works, in most states, it's an EPA or DEQ, they're all largely independently funded. So the way the Louisiana DEQ works is the DEQ gets its money from the oil industry. So this guy sees my water quality tests and he goes, you know, these results are all, you know, made up. They can't be true. You should have called our office and we would have helped you. And I said, I did call your office for a year to try and tell you that I've got these results, mercury, arsenic, cyanide, all these things in the water. This is the stuff we're drinking. So he dismissed my science project. And at that point, I was, you know, probably 16, 17 years old. It was my first run-in with real corruption. You know, it's like, whoa.
So I take and it you didn't win the science fair.
I didn't win that one. Win that one. But it did set me on a life path of looking at facts and science and looking at what authorities and companies were saying and seeing if they match. And so at a very young age, I became interested in journalism. I became interested in environmental science and how was I going to do these things in a way that brought awareness to people so that they could make better choices for their health. Because I could see where the health of my family was, and I could see where my neighbors were, and people were not healthy. And I could see these big plumes of toxic ash that were coming out of these machines, you know? And I said, well, this is not good. This is not, you know, we don't... You know, it doesn't matter if you're American, if you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, you should have a right to clean water and clean air. Like that's just basic, you know? And I started making films. I started making films right out of college. And the rest, you know, the rest is somewhat history here.
Yeah. Well, but you, at such a young age, you discovered that something's not right here. That we're getting false information from one side of the equation and this isn't adding up. So, So you get out of high school, then where does that lead you to? You go to college, where are you going?
I did go to college. I went to a small liberal arts school in Sarasota, Florida called New College and studied economics, studied different languages. And that ended me up on a farming trip. But way back when they had this thing called woofing, and it used to be called willing workers of organic farms, right? Now there's a new acronym, it's a more politically appropriate acronym, but it's still woofing, right? They still call it woofing. And basically what you do is you'd write to the head woof office of Germany or France or Spain. You say, hey, I'd like to come to your country and I'd like to volunteer on farms.
Yeah.
And they'd send you this booklet. And this was all over the mail. You know, there was no text message. You were going to email these people, right? This is in the 90s. So they'd send you the booklet typed, you know, with a typewriter and, you know, stenographed. They'd put, and oh my gosh, we got a package from Germany. You'd open it up and there'd be all these farms. And then you'd write another letter to the farm and then they'd write you back. Well, that whole system took too long. So I just ended up showing up at these farms in Denmark and Germany and had this incredible experience traveling across Europe, working on organic farms.
Wow.
And it blew my mind because, you know, Rick and Carol, like some of these farms are like 1,000 years old. Mm-hmm. They've been farming The
And
same.
did they pay you? And what did you do on those farms?
No, they didn't, you know, I'm still waiting to get paid.
Waiting for your check.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my check for but no, it was room and board, and
Yeah.
you woke up at 4 and you got to work and you did whatever there was to do on the farm. But what was interesting to me, where I finally ended up, was East Germany on a Rudolf Steiner farm, and waking up at 4 a.m. crushing bugs, putting them, you know, boiling them, putting them back on the potatoes to create a natural, you know, pesticide, working with draft horses. What was interesting about this farm is they had the farm journal stretching back for generations and generations and generations. And they could show that they had maintained fertility on the same piece of land. And I mean, we were growing tons of stuff. I mean, we were growing fruits and vegetables. They had meat, you
With
know, it was amazing.
no synthetic help.
No synthetic whatsoever. Completely biodynamic, completely organic. But yes, we're using horse manure, we're using cow manure. They're dragging, you know, big tanks of urine around. I mean, it was a scientific operation. They weren't just, you know, willy-nilly putting bugs on potatoes.
Was it certified organic at that point in time, or is that just the way it was done?
Well, in Europe, you know, so a biodynamic farm in that part of Germany is biodynamic, and they have a logo and they have certifications, but they're part of the Demeter, you know, they're part of the Demeter system. And so I thought, my God, this is unbelievable, these people. And the soil is rich and black, and the vegetables are huge, and these people make money. They sell their fruits and produce and meats at a farmer's market. They make cash. It was great.
And
Mark.
I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm going to guess that there weren't a lot of sick people around either.
Nobody was sick. These are
Nobody.
these people are healthy as oxen, you know, and they're strong. And it's a really interesting contrast to where I'd grown up. These beautiful, kind of healthy looking folks. And I thought, my goodness. And then what really piqued my interest about that farm is they were making their own biodiesel. So they and they made it from rapeseed. So they made it from a seed. They had a seed press. They pressed the oil. All the farmers in the community came together. They pooled their oil. They made the fuel, and then they put it back in their tractors. And I talked to the farmer. I said, "This system that you have, how certain are you that this system is sustainable?" And he said, "Well, today we only use this many hectares for growing our rapeseed for our fuel." And then he took this huge stack of papers out, and he said, "My great, 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 great grandfather used 4 times the acres to grow the hay to feed the draft horses that do the same thing as the tractor." And he showed me the numbers, and he
Yeah.
wasn't lying. And I thought, wow, this is beyond. These people have rich, dark soil. They're producing way more food than they can eat. They're making money. They're paying taxes on the land. They're inheriting the farm down. And they've gotten so scientific about it that they're making fuel on the farm more than they need, way less land than their great, great, great grandfather used to
Yeah.
feed the horses. And so to me, that was a breakthrough moment in my life, because I
Yeah.
said, it is possible to sustain land, animal, and people and have energy all in the same place if you're scientific, if you manage it properly, if you understand the cycles, if you work with nature, and no inputs, no chemicals. And I'm going like, what's the problem here?
Yeah.
And the farmers all
These,
work together, right?
yeah. They all
Yeah.
had agreements, you know, they used each other's things now and then, but it was a community, small community.
Yeah.
And
But
that to me, that was a life moment that set me on the path that I'm on still to this day. Yeah.
and Josh, that, I mean, this stuff just hasn't happened by accident. I mean, this has been set up. I mean, you are on a path here of where of a plan of God, and it's amazing the path that you've been on. So I've heard part of this story before, so I know a little bit about this. So we got to talk about the bus. Is that what you call the bus?
The veggie van.
The
The
veggie
veggie van.
van. Okay.
That was in his wife's bio.
Tell us a little bit about that, would you?
Sure. Well, so I got, I had this epiphany that's very, I mean, it was spiritual, this experience being on these farms in Europe, and then came back to the US, and then went to Central America, and I worked on farms there. Totally the opposite situation, right? So whereas a lot of the European farms were very old, multi-generational, the many people that I worked with in Central and South America, they've been moved off their land, right? And so they're farming degraded hillsides, and they're growing corn on corn, sometimes corn on beans. And it's dirt. I mean, it's not soil, it's dust. And these people are poor. I mean, just scraping by. Maybe they're lucky enough to have a couple of scrawny chickens, right? But the land was poor. And meanwhile, I'm trying to write this thesis for my college. I'm trying to write this document about what does it take to sustain a community? What does it take? How are we going to sustain into the future, right? So I come back and I start to write this thing, and the thing that just keeps knocking at my brain is like that farm in Germany where they made their own fuel. Because I grew up in the oil refinery patch, right? I grew up in this toxic wasteland. And I kept thinking, gosh, man, I wonder if there's some way to use what we have in the United States to make fuel. And we started to crunch the numbers on the used cooking oil that was available in the mid-90s, right? And this is before the markets changed, before a lot of things happened. There was a lot of used frying oil in the US at that point. And they hadn't figured out how to reuse it for animal
Love French
feed.
fries.
They hadn't fed it to cows yet, which is largely what they do today. They're re-injecting that stuff back into the food supply. You want to talk about some unhealthy meat? People are wondering why they've got trans fats out of the off the charts, and they've got heart issues, and so one of the main killers of men are our generation, is heart disease. Well, look what's in the meat. So I didn't know any of that stuff at the time, but I did know that you could put vegetable oil in a diesel engine. And so I found this crazy scientist in Colorado, and he basically gave me the code, the formula for biodiesel. And once I had that formula, I mean, heaven and earth could not stop me. So I got this used Winnebago, dragged it down to Florida to college. We painted it up with sunflowers. We built this machine to esterify or transesterify the cooking oil into biodiesel. And, my graduation thesis was about sustaining food and sustaining fuel through farming. And then I
This
drove it across the country, the veggie van voyage. And it became the first day we drove the van. We did a piece for the Today Show, and it aired nationally. 20 million American people saw me driving this multicolored old beat up Winnebago across the country. And it was crazy. I mean, we didn't have cell
this
phones.
is like Forrest Gump, except you were driving. He was running, you were driving.
He was running, we were driving. It was 1997. I had a pager, and my mom thought that I was, doing all sorts of nefarious things because only bad people had pagers. But I wasn't rich enough to have one of those huge car phone things, so that the only option was a pager. And so, what was I, 17 years old, driving this van,
Gosh.
and
To pay phone so you can up get your messages off the
Yeah, the pager would just run out of messages.
pager.
We didn't know who was calling. We just saw these phone numbers to call them back. It'd be you didn't know if it was going to be CNN or some crazy person. So that trip lasted 2 years, and spurred my first book, which was From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank. I got to work with the National Biodiesel Board out of that, and based out of Missouri, good people. soybean farmers, good people, good Midwestern people, kind people. And this is where I start to get got to know American farmers. Was because I was a crazy kid with this used cooking oil machine that smelled like, the back of a French fry machine. Smelled like a Kentucky Fried. Kentucky Fried Chicken was actually a sponsor, if you can believe it.
So
Dogs were chasing you.
You had Colonel Sanders on the side of the van, or
We
the
did. We did. We had a Colonel Sanders logo. I mean, the irony of, confined animal feed operations. I mean, it was just, again, I was 17 years old. It was like a lot to learn, right?
And what were you doing specifically? You were just driving across the United States, letting people know
Yeah,
what
it
was
was kind of a
possible.
yeah, it was a educational crusade to sort of look at alternative fuels.
You got some attention.
So that was, look, win, lose, or fail, it was fascinating, right?
But now, just real quickly, I mean, you started this renewable fuel, what's not a conference, but whatever you want to call this, and the thing just exploded, right? Tell us that,
I mean, like, I think one of the first biodiesel meetings was down in New Orleans, and you could fit everybody in a little room. And by the time biodiesel hit its height, I mean, they were renting out convention centers in Anaheim, California, thousands of people in the room. So, there were a couple things that happened over that trajectory, all of which are important to this conversation, to the Common Ground film that we're talking about this evening. And, folks, I definitely want everybody to come out and see the Common Ground movie because it represents not just my learning over the past 3 decades, but it represents a lot of people's learning, yours included. You're in the film, both of you. But a couple of things happened during the biodiesel journey. One is I fell in love with American farmers, just like I'd fallen in love with European farmers and South American farmers. And all farmers have these things in common. They wake up early, they work hard. There's not a lot of gratitude. The pay, not really usually that great. But they grow stuff. They grow food. And that's cool. And that always fascinated me. Like, what does it take to feed people? What does that really mean? So I got to know a lot of soybean farmers, and I went on a lot of farms. And I started to see some commonalities. I started to see how the farms were, in some ways, more like the farms that I'd seen in Central and South America. Really degraded soil, really dirt, farming soybeans in dirt. But they had big machines and a lot of chemicals, and they had all that. They had all those toys that kind of made it possible. And I started to sort of second guess the whole biodiesel thing as it got really big. Because I was seeing a consistent problem with farming and debt and farming and dirt. And there was some kind of connection. I couldn't put it together, but I knew somehow that degraded soil, that dirt, had to do with debt. It had to do with going into debt. And not making money and not being profitable. It would take time to put that together. I couldn't put that together at first.
Well, you're still, I mean, you're 17, 18 years old here. I mean, that's a
Yeah,
lot.
but the journey was long. I mean, we started the Veggie Van in 1997. I think I met my wife in 2004, and I was still doing it. By that point, I was trying to make a movie about it. And then it took another 4 years. I think we officially got together around 2007. We got to Sundance with that first movie, Fuel, in 2008. So that's an 11-year journey from start to finish.
And did you work on that film together?
Well,
Wow.
we did. We did. I had worked on it for, a long time unsuccessfully. And this is the power of partnership. Met my wife, and all of a sudden, was blessed with this incredible success that we've had together. So you know, that's the beauty of two people working together, you know.
Yeah.
For a
Yeah.
common goal. Yeah.
For a
Yeah.
common goal, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
See, and I appreciate you telling it. I mean, this the story I needed you to tell it because it's building now to where. So now let's move to Kiss the Ground. Huge, huge success. I mean, millions
Yes.
of tens of millions of downloads now.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
tell us. I mean, I know that was. I think it was my good friend Ray Archuleta's in it. I think he
Yes.
said 7 years, maybe it was back. It's on, it's off, it's on, it's
Oh
off.
yeah. Oh
So tell us about Kiss the Ground.
Well, you know, Rebecca, my wife, and I got together making our first film, Fuel. She produced it, I directed, and then we co-directed, we started co-directing and co-producing. We made, oh, I don't know, lots of movies together. We made three more energy movies. We made a movie about the Gulf oil spill that went to Cannes, and it was a rocky journey, because independent film is tough, and independent documentary film is super tough. And then you want to make independent documentary environmental films. Well, you better have somebody with a just insanely large bank account. And we
You're
didn't.
going up
So,
against the big boys now.
yeah, I mean, you are, and with no real upside to these films whatsoever. So we had to create everything from scratch because neither of us came from money. So we had to build our own film studio. We had to build relationships. We had to build inroads. And Hollywood's one of the toughest businesses in the world. I mean, it's almost as hard as farming. Right? So we did it, and we made a lot of films, a lot of environmental films. We have various levels of success and failure. But we had been shortlisted for an Oscar, and we'd shown of films in the White House. We got a big shelf of awards, and you know, we'd been to Sundance and Cannes and all this stuff. And then our friends started saying, "You got to make a movie about soil." I said, "You know, I've been working on soil for like since like the 90s. Where have you been?" They're like, "No, we want a movie just about soil." I was like, "We just made three movies about oil. You're asking me to downgrade." Like, I'm gonna go from oil to soil? What do you think? You know, like we're already scraping by. No one's gonna watch a movie about soil. And so,
All you gotta do is add an S. That's it.
yeah.
right. Oh, it's
You
like I was like, man, this is just gonna go from bad to worse. And one of the guys that just wouldn't take no for an answer was our friend Ryland Engelhardt,
Yeah.
who's you know, the co-founder of the Kiss the Ground nonprofit organization, which ironically, you know, moved into the garage, which was behind our house. And that's the garage that I made
Where
our films
all
in.
great businesses start, in the garage
Yeah. Well, I started in
in
California.
California. So Ryland was just convinced. He was like, "This is gonna be amazing." And I was like, "Ryland, I love you. I don't see it. I just don't see how we're gonna do a movie on dirt." He's like, so he said, "Listen, I'll find somebody to put a little bit of money into a teaser. You make a 10-minute film, can't you? And I'll get Woody to narrate it. And then we'll see if there's anything, right?" So Rebecca and I were like, "Oh, okay, fine. Yes. All right, we'll do it. We'll do it." Oh, because it wasn't that we didn't love the subject.
Now it's almost a challenge because now you got to, okay, Ryan, can you real? We're going to see if you can really get Woody. Okay, we'll do that,
Exactly.
right?
Well, and I had worked with Woody in the biodiesel revolution. So, you know, we had a we knew each other. But Rylan was committed. And it wasn't that we didn't love the subject. I mean, come on, a movie about earth and soil and planting and gardens, but that seemed like more like a YouTube video, you know? But we got our team together, and we got our writers and our editors, and we scripted it out, and we said, "Okay, you know, we can kind of build this thing, and you know, maybe it'll work." And then we filmed it and we put it together. We had this 12-minute thing with Woody narrating, and to a person, every single person we showed it to, their jaw just hit the floor. And they said, "This is amazing. What do you need?" And it was the first time since our first
Wow.
film that people had said that. And it was like, wow. Rebecca and I looked at each other and we go, maybe the consciousness of the world is catching up. Like maybe we were too far ahead, you know? And we started working on Kiss the Ground, but we realized the consciousness of the world wasn't quite there because it took us another 7 years from that point to raise the money, make the movie. We had a huge group of people, a lot of opinions. God bless them all, love the team, love the group that we made
So
it
when you
with.
say you had a lot of opinions, when you were raising funds, those people had a say in the movie.
Yes, well, that is a good question, Carol. At the very least, if you accept a check from somebody in Hollywood, that check is going to come with an opinion.
Or a request.
Of some sort. All money has a cost, right? And so, but overall, look, at the end of the day, the team that made Kiss the Ground was actually amazing. And to the person on that credit roll, and there's probably 1,000 people, I have to give everybody complete credit and honor and just say what a blessing every single person was that made that movie happen, And Rebecca and I worked hard. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it was tough.
Well,
But
yeah,
we, yeah.
I don't know where your income stream is. You've got kids now.
Yep.
You got a home to take care of. You've got
Yep.
your animals to take care of. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
you guys live on a little ranch there, so
Yep.
and give us the name of the movie studio.
Big Picture Ranch. Yeah.
Big
So Big
Picture
Picture
Ranch.
Ranch. Big Picture Ranch. Yeah.
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 So how in the world did you find Gabe Brown, Ray Arcelota? How'd you find these guys?
Yeah. Well, the good thing about having a huge team is you got a lot of people you can lean on to ask questions. And one of the questions we had when we set out to make Kiss the Ground, the first film in our Soil series, because now we're on the second film in the Soil series, Common Ground. I never would have imagined that we're making a series on soil, but here we are.
Yeah, come on in.
One of the things we said when we started is, if we're going to make this story work, we need at least one person who doesn't speak over people on the coasts, but speaks to them,
Yeah.
and who doesn't speak down to farmers, because let's face it, regenerative agriculture is different, right? And it's easy to accidentally speak down to people like that. That was never the objective, was to say, you're doing it wrong, or you're not
Right.
as good as I am,
You want to turn somebody off, that's what you say. Yeah.
Right. No, we didn't want to do that. So we from day one, we knew we had to find a farmer who was really able to communicate, and whose story was true and compelling. And a lot of people said, well, listen, you should talk to Joel Salatin. You should put Joel in the movie.
Yeah.
Nothing against Joel, Joel's great. But I said, well, Joel's already been in a couple big movies, and he's frankly not the kind of guy that we're looking for. We're
Yeah.
looking for somebody straight down the middle, like put him in a lineup of farmers, you don't know which one he is,
Yeah.
and before I met Gabe Brown, he'd been recommended, through our network. I knew exactly one thing, his address. All he said over email is, this is my address, be here at 8 a.m. I don't work bankers hours. That's it. That's
Yeah.
what we knew.
Yeah. And you weren't late,
But
or were you?
we were actually a little bit late. I was very nervous. We were a little late. But Gabe was patient and Gabe was kind. And what I saw in those first few days on that farm, I felt it. I didn't feel it in my skin. I felt it in my bones. Like I felt it so deep. I hadn't felt that feeling since I'd been on that farm in Germany. It was like he's doing what I saw in Germany when I was, 15 years old, 16 years old, except he's doing it on thousands of acres. And that to me was like pay dirt. I was like, this is it, man. This is it. Because if we can do this on thousands of acres, we can do this on millions, we can do this on billions. Game over. Like humanity has a new trajectory. So I was in the game. Like, I was like, this guy, he's got it. He's got it going on.
Okay, so now let me stop here just for a second. So Rylan talked you into doing this 12-minute, I don't even know what this 12-minute thing was.
It
So,
was a it was like a it was like a teaser, like a fundraising teaser
but
kind of thing.
Gabe wasn't in it. I mean,
Nope.
nobody was in
Nope.
it.
No, just a
So
bunch of
you
good people,
basically
but they're all
got,
California people,
yeah, I mean, you basically have I don't know what the word here is, but you've kind of got the cart ahead of the horse. You've already, so now we got to go find the people that are going to make up this movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the way we do it as documentary filmmakers is we do a ton of research.
Yeah.
We call everyone, we look at everything, we read everything. But there wasn't a lot of information about regenerative agriculture. Plenty of
Right.
information about the problem,
So what's the
soils
date here,
degrade.
Josh? What's the date?
Oh my
06,
gosh, now
07?
we're going back 10 years. So we're back in like
12, 13,
20
12,
or
13.
2013.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right.
I mean, my children had not been born.
Okay.
I
Okay.
have two children now. Like Rebecca and I have two living humans that didn't exist at the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
So, wow, three kids.
Hugely, hugely successful,
The
right?
children or the movie? I think
The movie,
the
children
children are
are
more successful than our films, but
yeah.
hugely successful,
Yeah.
streaming
I mean,
everywhere.
look.
And
Yeah,
then,
the yeah, that well, the film. So the way we make films is we do all the research and then we do note cards and we build the film with note cards. And then we talk. One person will stand up and they'll say, "Okay, I'm going to tell you the story. Here's the film." And we read the note cards, right? Chapter one, we learn about the earth.
I see. Okay.
Chapter two, we go to visit a farm, and we read what we think the film's going to be. And then
Yeah.
everybody sits in the room, like, nah, it's not going to work. You need a chapter about this. Oh, you need a chapter about that. You need a chapter about Germany and Haber-Bosch and the Bosch process,
Right.
and the war So we had a lot of the information on those note cards. What we didn't have is we didn't really have like our regenerative heroes, because kind of people didn't really know who they were.
They were just
And
doing what they knew to do.
So basically, we had a list of addresses and phone numbers back to my days of going to woof, going on woofing farm expeditions, except now I got a van and a bunch of sweaty people in a van with a bunch of gear. And we're driving across the Midwest and we're knocking on doors and going, "Hey, we called you. Hey,
Yeah.
can we come hang out and film for a little while?"
And that's the footage you actually used for the movie.
Yeah, that's Kiss the Ground.
That is Kiss the Ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then what?
It's a great
Oh,
movie.
yeah.
It's but Josh did, I don't mean to cut you off, Carl, but Josh, did you, I mean, okay. You just said a few minutes ago, I think you might have said trilogy. I think you did. How, when did you know that this Kiss the Ground was more than just a one-time thing here, and
Oh,
we've got to have a sequel and then another sequel?
well, no one in their right mind would make one soil movie. I think you have to be certifiably, truly insane to make two and
Off
to make,
the rails, yeah.
yeah, to make three. I mean, you're definitely, you could be committed for that. So I think what we knew midway through filming Kiss the Ground was that there was a way to tell the story that we tried to tell we by this point we'd made 18 films, nine,
Oh,
something like that.
wow.
We'd done theatrical distribution. We were a full-blown studio. We knew that if we could get the story right, in some ways, it was the biggest environmental story that we would ever tell.
Yeah, way bigger
Because,
than the oil stories.
yeah, I mean, look, this is it's food. It's the thing we all share, right? It's farming, it's climate, it's water, it's soil. It has to do with how the next billion people are going to live or starve. It's literally the future of our species on this planet. I mean, what story is bigger than that? That's a
Yeah.
big story.
I mean, I think I've read somewhere, I think 3 days without food and it's just mass chaos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean,
3 days.
yeah, we've seen it. We saw it in Nigeria. We saw food riots when we filmed there for a different project. So, yeah, it doesn't take much.
But it did a
So,
really great job of explaining what I don't think people really understood as regenerative agriculture. I think it was the beginning, the impetus of it, because I don't think at that point people really got it. Because I remember telling people when they would ask us what we were doing, I said, "Have you seen the movie Kiss the Ground?" I said, "Just watch that, and that will kind of explain things." Because I thought it just did a really great job of explaining things and why you did things and why we didn't do things. And
Well, that from the consumer side, and then
yeah.
from the farmer side, there were a lot of folks already doing these practices that didn't know what it was called.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you've attached a name to it, which is turning into a grassroots movement. I mean,
Yeah.
this is big.
It's
Oh,
big.
look, I mean, people argued that we did over 100 test screenings of that film. There were three separate, complete, entire movies that we made from scratch.
Really?
We literally deleted the timeline and started from scratch three
Oh,
times.
yeah.
Wow.
So, and in the edit room, people are like, "Well, this is sustainable." No, it's regenerative is just a buzzword. We had to create a language for
Yeah.
people to understand what was going on farms like Gabe's. We had to create a visual language. Then we had to create animations that showed people what was going on under the soil, on top of the soil. We had to create carbon for people. Like, how do you visualize that? I mean,
Yeah.
we had to create an entire world of biological visual information that had never been done before. And we had to deal with the fact that no one agreed on anything. No one agreed on the science. No one agreed on the definitions. No one agreed on, oh, that was tough.
Well, I can only imagine when you're in the bull room or whatever you call your spot where everyone is trying to voice their own opinion here. I
Yeah.
mean, the things that were coming out, regenerative is this. No, it's this. It can't be that. It has to be. I mean, I can
Oh, yeah.
only imagine how you decided what to, stop. Everybody just stop and let's see where the dust settles and.
Oh man. Well, somehow we got it done. And Woody was kind enough to come in and narrate the film. We were all set to premiere at Tribeca. We're gonna have a big fancy red carpet, big star-studded opening, and we were getting ready, and then there was this news report about this virus that people started getting. And people were getting sick, and we were getting ready to go to New York City. We booked tickets, and I said to Rebecca, I was like, "They're not gonna shut down Manhattan for a cold." Oh man, this again, eat your words, Josh. I was so wrong. That was February. And of course, no Tribeca because the world shut down.
That
So here
19.
we are with the movie that we've accepted a lot of donations to make. We've made huge promises. We think it's pretty good. But no one can see it. The world has shut down.
And
And
what did
it's
you
like
do?
7 years. We've spent 7 years making this film. We put everything into this film, everything. And the world is closed. And of course, at the time, we went from thinking, oh, we're gonna have a buyer's, rally. Like everyone's gonna want it. Netflix and HBO. The studios dropped 150 films onto Netflix. They just let them go because they knew they couldn't release them in theaters. They just lost. They just took the loss.
Oh, wow.
And so all of a sudden, the streamers are awash in content. All these films, they have their pick of huge stars, big names, Jennifer Aniston, all these great films, And here we are, the environmental documentary. No premiere, no festivals, nothing.
And you went from there to Netflix, or then what happened?
Well, it was a crazy year. I mean, I happened to get very sick at that point in time. I got an injury that turned into an infection that turned into a bone infection. And so we're doing drive-ins because that's the only way that people can see the film.
Yeah.
And so Rebecca is going out to host these drive-ins.
Yep.
I'm dealing with, sickness and surgeries. And meanwhile, we're trying to get it into Netflix. And we fight tooth and nail. We use every phone number and person that
Every
we've
chip,
met,
call every
everything,
chip in, yeah.
everything, everything, everything. Laura Dern, every single person we knew. And finally, they agree to take it. And, as luck would have it, we get on the phone with the lady at Netflix. And we're about to sign the document. She sent over the contract. We're all good. Everything's done. And she goes, I'm so excited to take this movie, because we love movies about solar power.
What?
What?
That's
And
what
did you say,
Rebecca and I, that's what, and Rebecca and I are going, solar, And we put the Zoom on mute for a minute and we go, she has no idea what the movie's about.
Yeah.
And we double checked that we'd signed the contract, and that was that. We got them to film. They had no clue what the film was about. No idea whatsoever.
And what did they
Wow.
say when they found out it wasn't about solar?
A year and a half later, they called us up and they said, this film about soil, everyone's watching it. Can we please use the trailer in our Earth Day promotion?
Ooh.
And we said, yeah, and we sent them the trailer. They lost the trailer. We'd already sent it to them. So we had to resend it back to Netflix. We send them the trailer, and then they do an Earth Day promotion about how green Netflix is. I mean, that's a different conversation,
Yeah.
but and the majority of the trailer is our film. And it's like, oh, they figured it out. They watched the movie. Well, that's
Yeah.
good.
And maybe the timing was fortunate because everyone was at home. We couldn't do anything. So what did we do? We watched
Yeah.
TV.
Well, I think the first thing people did is they watched Tiger King.
I did not.
But when they got done
Only
with that
person.
and they were bored, there was Woody Harrelson with some carrots. And
Yeah.
they go, yeah, what is this soil film that everybody's talking about? And they watched
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Millions and millions and millions of people
So
watched
maybe
it.
you wouldn't have gotten the exposure through the theaters that you did had it
I
not.
am, yeah, I, Carol, I am a firm believer in divine timing.
Absolutely.
I'm a firm believer. I cannot think of it. I can't imagine that there's not some kind of, divinity to timing, because if I look across my life, the things that have happened because of 1 minute or, going to one place instead of the other, or crossing the street over here, or getting in that taxi versus this taxi. I mean, my life has been a series of, minor miracles.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was divine timing. And, Kiss the Ground did what Kiss the Ground did. It got very popular. You asked when we knew we were going to make the second film. While we were in the middle of Kiss the Ground, we were already frustrated that we were having to explain things that we had already figured out a long time ago as filmmakers. And in our test screenings, people are like, no, it's too complicated. Make it simpler. No, it's too hard. Make it easier to understand. And we were like, man, there's a bigger story here. You guys, you really need this to be that simple? Yep. Okay. And so as we finished Kiss the Ground, there was a level of frustration of like, we're not really empowering people with the full message. Like, when I watch Kiss the Ground, I'm like, this is a great movie, but if I'm a farmer, do I know what to do? Right?
Right.
Do I have the tools and information at the end of this film? Do I know how to do this? And look, smart people can figure anything out, right? There's plenty of YouTube videos of how to do regenerative agriculture. It's a good primer. But with Common Ground, we wanted to make a film that it didn't matter who you were, it didn't matter what language you spoke. You could watch that film and you would understand not just what regenerative agriculture is, you would know how to do it. And that's why we made the
How
second
it
film.
impacted you personally. So whether you were a house mom or in the ag industry, I think you could relate to how that movie was played
Yeah.
out.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that, and also another thing was what we realized was the movement started to take off and the movement needed a second chapter. Regenerative agriculture as a global movement, it needed another place to rest because people were making up the definition of regenerative agriculture is where you till and you spray tremendous amounts of herbicide and pesticides. And that I'm like, you're already doing that. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Now we plant a cover crop sometimes when we've no, that's not regenerative agriculture. I'm glad you're planting the cover crop, but we needed to have a clarity as a group, an agreed upon reality where everybody could be like, okay, yeah, that's the next step. That's now how we're going to define large scale regenerative agriculture, which is why I was like, who's this Rick Clark guy? Like, what is this organic regenerative agriculture? I don't know. Can you do both? Which is why I came to visit you guys, because I wanted to see, just like I'd seen on Gabe's ranch, I wanted to understand the scalability. That was the other thing about the second film. We realized that all of the situations we'd shown in the first film had gotten much worse. Dust Bowl, middle of America, much worse than it was. Deserts encroaching upon people all over the world, much worse than the refugee camps because people don't have food and water, much worse. Conflict. Look at the conflicts that are happening on our planet today, at this very moment while we sit here. No one wants to have that kind of conflict. But let's face it, those conflicts have to do with who controls fertility, who controls soil. Who controls the ability to grow food and water? That's where power is, right? And so when you have these kind, you can't make enough guns to hold back the deserts, right? But you can grow soil.
Yeah.
And when people have soil, they have water and they have food, they don't have to fight to get it somewhere else. So we were actually, as parents, very concerned. When we got through the first film and it got into distribution, we realized, yeah, millions of people have seen this. Yes, companies are getting made. Yes, farmers are coming online. But as a planet, we just scratched the surface. Like the work that has to be done to convert our international food system and to safeguard our species is big. And so when you see that as parents and you see your kid and they're like, we had young children, we began the second film. You can't unlearn this stuff. You can't unlearn what's happening in conventional agriculture and how farmers are committing suicide. And you can't unlearn how good regenerative agriculture is on a family and community level. And as a, what am I going to do? Look at my kid and say, well, I knew all this, but instead I went to make car commercials or I went to make soda pop commercials. I was like, well, we have to double down. We have to do this. We have to do it again. We have to reach a billion people with Common Ground, because we reached maybe 100 million with Kiss the Ground. Now it's game on, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, again, there's, and folks that are in the audience listening, I mean, come on, if you got a question, I know Josh has done a great job of telling his story here, but if you got a question, now's the time. You got the man. There, he's behind. You see, you've heard his journey here. It's unbelievable. It's all set up. It's divine intervention. It's all in place. The people he's surrounded himself with, it's all for a reason. So we got him on. Ask a question. If you want to raise your hand, whatever. So Josh, tell us, okay, you know, by now, Kiss the Ground is rolling pretty hard. You're getting ready to think about, you know, you've probably identified maybe 20, 25 farmers across the country now that you'd like to go visit. Maybe it's more, I don't know. But tell us about, I mean, how do you go and visit all these folks and then decide who's going to make it and who's not?
Oh, the cutting room is
first
the cutting
choice,
room is
or are we your second choice?
The cutting room is a brutal place, let me tell you. It's
the
brutal
truth
for
comes out.
Well, it's so brutal because we all have our favorites, right?
Yeah.
We have people that we do a lot of pre-interviews via Zoom or telephone, you know, and we get to know people pretty good, and we think we're going to know a little bit about the story before we go. But it's not until you get the footage back that you realize what you got.
Yeah.
And there were some real heartbreaks with the second film. You know, there were some people we were just all and thinking, oh man, this is going to be the gold. And it doesn't always work out that way. It's not because they're bad people or because what they're doing isn't good. It just, you know, it's just the way it is. Sometimes it works for the story and sometimes it doesn't. So we film for our docs, we film about 350 to 400 hours of footage.
Holy.
And the film is 90 to 100 minutes long.
So lots of editing.
There's a lot of film on the floor, I guess. I mean, I know
a lot of film on the floor. Yeah, and we'll make it available to everybody down the road. We've got a system that we're developing that's going to have all of the incredible footage that we didn't get to show you from Kiss
Good.
The Ground and Common Ground. 600 hours of footage we're going to make available. A
wow.
Lot of it, not all of it, but the good parts, you know.
Yeah.
We'll say 200 hours of the 600.
I was very, very, very impressed with, and I'm not saying it just because we're in it, but the cast of people that you had in it, the quality of people, people that we looked up to, people that we followed. How in the world did you find Toby? How did you find all these great minds that were busy in their field doing things, very important work? How did you find all them, get them all to cooperate with you on this? Because I feel like you have the best of the best. And I don't mean that because we're in it. I just feel like the other people that, and the scientists and just everybody, I mean, just everyone in that movie is really the best in their field.
Yeah. I agree. I think that the Common Ground represents the state of the art of regeneration as it relates to America.
Yeah.
This year, you know, right now, today. Now, if you film the film in 2 or 3 years, there'll be a lot more people, which is great. We want that. And you'll say, well, you, yeah, different faces, a whole different group of people. But right now, today, and I'm not saying that there's not, that the film has the best people, because there's a lot of great people, but it represents the state of the art of regenerative agriculture today, 20. That's why I want everybody to see it. We're literally opening Common Ground across the Midwest, from Fargo, North Dakota, to Delafield, Wisconsin, all the way to New Hampshire. I mean, Arlington, you know, Boston. The film is opening across the country in theaters, and we want people to go see it, because it's a breakthrough for farming. It's a breakthrough for what farmers can do, how much money they can save, how they can avoid getting cancer and getting sick. mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, we knew we had to make the second movie because the stakes got higher. The world happened. COVID happened. Things actually, economies contracted. It actually got harder for a
Oh,
lot of people during COVID. And we think of things in terms of the United States, but if you're a subsistence farmer in sub-Saharan Africa living on the, hovering above subsistence, not poverty line, forget poverty line. Poverty line's miles above that. And the economy of your country crashes. Oof,
yeah.
hundreds of over 100 million refugees during COVID. So, these are climate refugees. These are land, and if you don't like to use the word climate, think of them as soil refugees, refugees of land, no more land. Because what's happening globally is arable land is shrinking. It's
Yeah.
shrinking in every country, including the United States, meaning the number of acres that we can actually farm is going down, not up.
No,
Well,
you said urban sprawl everywhere.
what's that, Carol?
I said there's urban sprawl just everywhere,
Urban sprawl, yeah.
and it's just eating our very fertile farm ground to put apartment buildings on or
Yeah,
gas stations.
that's happening, and desertification is happening too.
Yeah.
Meaning land that used to be farmable is no longer farmable. And what's our population doing? It's doing the opposite. It's going up. So we got land that's going down, population that's going up. I mean, we looked at our kids and we said, we better make the second film really good. Because if we don't, if we need to educate a lot of people quickly. And that's the big difference between, what Rebecca and I do and like a technology company. We don't sell technology. We give people information about techniques.
Yeah.
We're trying to teach people to fish, except I guess in this case, teach people to plant seeds and use animals,
But you do a really good job at stating the problem and then also stating the solutions. Whereas I think a lot of people, Rick has said this before, they like to talk about the problems, but no solutions are ever given. And I feel like we feel like this movie does that, that you leave thinking there's hope and that there's something we can do. We can do as farmers, we can do as consumers. So I think you do a really
Listen,
good job with that.
we've done screenings in Texas. We've done screenings in DC. We've done screenings in California. The standing ovations and packed houses that are happening across the country. I just came from Encinitas, California. Rebecca and I did a screening last night. 300, I think the theater held 350 people. There were people standing in the aisles. I mean, it was packed.
Yeah.
And the audience is applaud, they're clapping during the film, standing ovation after the film. In fact, you guys haven't even seen the final product. We changed your sequence.
Oh
Oh,
no.
oh my gosh. But do you
Oh
know? No, here's what we did.
no.
We made it a little longer because we went into the part, Rick, where you're saying, I've got 1.5 million earthworms per acre.
Yeah.
And we explain each of those things. We explain what a soil aggregate is. We explain why earthworms are important. We
Yeah.
explain what infiltration means.
Yeah.
Just so that if you're involved in agriculture, not even just a farmer, if you're involved in agriculture and you watch this film, okay, that's why that's important.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we changed. Your
Okay.
sequence is unchanged
All
aside from that.
right. Too embarrassing bloopers.
No, we went through the film and there was a couple of little points that people were missing. We wanted to make sure that everybody understood how regenerative agriculture actually works.
That's good because I think we have to all be speaking the same language. And farming and farmers tend to use language that sometimes some of us who are were born into it know exactly what that means. So I think
So,
that's great that you further explain that because not everyone knows what earthworms, the value of your earthworms is.
right.
Yeah, they're valuable. Those earthworms, they're very important.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey,
Yeah.
we've got a question from Jeff. This is you're going to get a kick out of this one. Are you getting any pushback from the big ag companies?
Oh, Jeff, come on.
Oh,
They're
yeah.
all on board. Just
Yeah.
kidding.
They're good.
We do get pushback in different ways. These films are challenging to the status quo. Food in our, the North American total area market for food is $1 trillion a year. $1 trillion a year. That's the deal flow, right? For food. I'm talking everything from the Post-its box of cereal at your grocery store, the diesel fuel and the trucks, all the way through grain elevators, the whole nine yards, marketing, distribution, down to the app that you order your McDonald's sandwich with. That's a $1 trillion market. That's pretty big. So, yeah, there's going to be some people who are a little upset that we're saying, a good chunk of that money, big chunk of that money is going overseas. Big chunk of that money is leaving the Midwest. Big chunk of that money should be staying with farmers in the Midwest, should be building communities, should be building economic resilience for our country, right? Yeah, there's going to be some people who aren't too happy about that. But,
Have those
what's the
people been in the
alternative?
room that yet, though?
We've had some pretty serious conversations. We have. Some people have seen the film. Yeah. But again, look, this is a film that inspires dialogue. It's a film that it allows people to have a conversation about things that they don't want to talk about right now. And we need to, as a country, have a conversation about our soil. We need to have a conversation about our farmers, and we need to have a conversation about our future. So yes, Jeff, we've got some pushback, and I expect that there'll be more coming. But ultimately, I have all of the children of all of the chemical companies that'll push back on this film. I have your kids' best interest at heart.
Absolutely.
And so does Rebecca, and so does everybody involved in this film. So yes, you can push back. You can say, we need to spray toxic chemicals on food. But when it comes to your kids' food, I guarantee it. I guarantee you will choose the cleaner alternative over the toxic food every single time.
We've got
So
a
great.
question or comment from Hey Deanne, how you doing this evening? I can't see that. I forgot my glasses. Carol's going to read it.
Okay, how do you feel about farmers using the term regenerative while still using targeted rates of herbicides on cropland where roller crimping doesn't work because of too few frost-free days?
Ooh, we're getting deep in the weeds. We're getting
Yeah,
specific right now.
that's very specific.
Yeah, look, the reality is the four primary principles that we show in the film, they're not the only principles. The four primary principles we say reduces the use or drastically reduces the use of chemicals. Okay. Targeted herbicides are a reality in farming at large scale today for most people, even for some regenerative farmers. However, toxic targeted herbicides, I assert within the next 12 to 24 months, they're going to be superseded by biological alternatives. And I know that sounds like a pipe dream, but I have seen them work with my own eyes at scale, and they're cost competitive. So I think we're going to see a pretty substantial reduction in some of the big name toxins that we're spraying just to get rid of weeds. And we're going to see a substantial uptick in some other methodology. And I get what that person is saying. Roller crimpers, there are areas for various reasons, frost, land, terrain, mountains, all sorts of different reasons where that may not be applicable. We're about to see a revolution in biodegradable, non-toxic alternatives to some of the big brands of spray killers that we have out there right now.
Yeah. Well, hey, Deanne, thanks for the question. That's a very, very good question, because there are a lot of people out there claiming certain things and may or may not be trying to reduce the amount of chemicals they're using. So thanks for bringing that up. What's the next one there?
Well, someone asked the locations and dates of the film. Maybe we could post that because I know you're into a huge list now, right? I mean, you're all over the United States.
The list is big, but you know, I forgot to say the website, commongroundfilm.org.
And you had that list there.
Commongroundfilm.org. It's the first thing on the website. You can also join us on Instagram, Common Ground Film, or on Facebook, Common Ground Film. So, yeah, we're on social media, but the website has the best list, and it also has the ticket links to get your tickets. And I just want to say something about the film. You know, we're going to screen this film in Washington, D.C. before Congress closes, if it decides to shut down. We're going to screen it. It's going to be big. It's going to move the needle. But I want everyone who's listening to this to know every single ticket to this film is a vote at the box office. And what you are voting for is you are voting for the government to listen. You are voting for the big media entities to listen to this. And you're voting for big streamers, the people who control the content that most people watch, the Netflixes of the world. You're voting for them to listen. So every ticket is a vote. And I mean that. And as the film sweeps across the country, people are listening. DC is listening. The media is starting to listen. And the streamers are starting to listen. But we got to keep going.
Yeah, it's and go to that. Rachel typed it in there. Thank you, Rachel. Go to the website and check out the location. So, you know, the movie came out on the East Coast, came out on the West Coast. Now what Josh and Rebecca are doing are blitzkrieging across the Midwest. So this is a great way to do it. What Deanna's got a comment or a question also.
Cost competitive biological control for weeds instead of herbicide. I hope that's true.
Listen, I from what I've seen, it's not true today, but we are very close, like 12 to 24 months close. And listen, most people who begin down the path of taking on the Regenified standard, Regenified is the standard that Gabe Brown is putting his legacy into. Regenified standard, most farmers who start down that path, they reduce herbicide use by 50% in the first year. 50% in the first year. I have seen soil samples where certain herbicides have been used, and I'm avoiding brand names on purpose here, where the soil biology is so high that it literally breaks down any residue. I'm talking mass spectrometer tested soil. There is no trace of the herbicide. Now, I'm not going to sit here and promote people to use toxic herbicides, right? But I will tell you that if you get your soil biology right and you get it going, you're going to want to reduce those herbicides to such a degree. And then when you start saving money on the herbicide side, you're going to be like, wow, this is some serious cash here. Like, you know, no one wakes up any day and goes, let's kill some stuff, right? But weeds are a problem. And there are ways around this, so we got to stay committed.
Now, Deanna, for what I know, there are two or three products out there now that are biochemicals. They are working. They're not OMRI approved, so we can't use them, but I do know there are a couple out there in existence now, and they're showing pretty good results. And it will be, I mean, it's big enough that the big boys are paying attention to them, and that who knows what's going to happen, but it's coming. Yeah, will it all be organically approved? Probably not, because of the process that it takes to make it. But all of these products are being derived typically from essential oils or some kind of an herb oil or something like that. So it's coming. Let's see what Jeff's got.
Stuff about doing something related to the connection with regenerative ag and biblical stewardship?
That's a beautiful question.
That is.
That's a beautiful question. I'm excited. Jeff is the gentleman's name who asked the question.
Yes.
I'm
Yes.
excited for Jeff to see the movie.
Yeah.
I'm excited for him to see the movie. You know, we made the movie in a very neutral way, Jeff. We didn't want, you know, there's a lot of different viewpoints that we have to appeal to as storytellers, and we're very mindful of that. But I think, let me just say this, Jeff. I think you won't be disappointed.
Yeah.
I hope, no, I'll say I hope you're not disappointed. I hope you're
It's
not. But I think it's got, you know, I think there's some deeply there's some universal spiritual truths that I hope we touch on in the film. And I hope you like the film, Jeff.
powerful, Jeff. I mean that Josh and Rebecca have done a tremendous job of not only the people they got involved in the film, but the order that you tell the events and how it just all builds, and then we climax. And I mean it's really put together well. And the narrators you have are unbelievable. I mean, Jason Momoa and Laura Dern and Rosario Dawson, Ian Somerhalder, Woody Harrelson, and I'm missing the one more. I'm missing another one, but I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But
Well, I will say this. There's a lot of beautiful people in the film, and I will say this. This is, you know, Kiss the Ground and Common Ground are the first two films that we made where no matter where we were, people fed us. And to this day, I had the pleasure and the honor of being with two of the film's narrators in Washington, D.C. for a small test screening, Rosario Dawson and Ian Somerhalder. And it was a very, very late night. By the time the film finished, and they said, "We've got to go out and eat." And I said, "My gosh, it's so late." We went, and you know what? The first thing that everyone does, no matter where we are, they pray before they eat. And it's not always the case when you make a film. It's not always the case. But there we were. You know, Washington, D.C., very fancy restaurant. And you know what people did before they ate? They prayed. It was a whole table full of people who'd seen the film. And I said, "This is wow. You know, this is amazing. All these people from different cultures sitting here at this table praying before dinner in a fancy restaurant, you know?" And I think that shows the reverence that I hope is at the core of this movement. I hope, you know.
Yeah, we've got some more comments or questions.
Let's see. Is the goal of the film to ban the use of toxic conventional herbicides?
Great question. It's not the goal of the film to ban toxic herbicides. I think that our goal is to give people informed choices. What has failed to be conveyed to the American public is the risk that we put ourselves under when we eat food with residues of these pesticides. And what has definitely not been conveyed to the American public is the intensive risk that farmers and farm operators are under when they use these chemicals.
Yeah.
We got to remember, there's 3 million people, human beings, who work in this country, who come to this country to work for on agriculture. And this is farm labor, right? We call them, you know, field workers. You just have this big label for them, but they're human beings. And where I live in California, the field workers have a saying: "You go to the United States to work, and then you go home to die."
Yeah.
Because their exposure to these chemicals is so high. I mean, You can drive down a farm field in California and you can watch a fan sprayer spraying right next to human beings without any PPE. They have no protective gear on whatsoever. Now, that happens all day, every day. So you tell me if you think that we should reduce these chemicals and be extremely careful with them. And eventually, if we shouldn't transition to something else. Not to mention, one of the biggest manufacturers of these chemicals isn't even an American company. I'm all for free trade. I'm all for capitalism. But let's say that they may not have our country's best interests at heart, right? Why are we spending hundreds of millions of dollars out of the Midwest and sending it overseas so they can sell a toxic product that they won't even sell in their own country? That should make people question, right?
And the other thing is, I don't think people realize, but I think the movie does an excellent job of describing that healthy soil is healthy food, means healthy bodies. And I don't think people made that connection necessarily, unless you were somehow in the industry. But I think consumers are getting smart, and I think that they want to know.
Yeah, so true, Carol. I mean, let's face it. 6 out of 10 Americans have a chronic health condition that's related to food. I think that the question is not do we want to ban toxic herbicide? The question is, do you want to be sick or do you want to be healthy? You know? Another question is, how do you feel? How do you feel in your life right now? Are you sick? Are you on medication? Are you healthy? Do you have no medication? Do you think it?
I have to tell you a little story though.
Yeah.
In New York at the premiere, I was talking with someone, and she was a doctor. She was there as a being a journalist, but I asked her, I said, in all your, and she teaches at Harvard. I said, in all your education, how much training and education do you have to do with food, nutrition, healthy soils, healthy food, healthy bodies? And she said, maybe 3 days.
That's what they
Said,
say. And 8 years to get a medical degree, and then you're going to do your rotations and you're going to do your internship, and you're going to get 3 days of health and nutrition information about food. That's
So,
why we're a sick country. That's why we're a sick society.
now we've got some more. We got Ed Bourgeois. I thought I saw his name. Ed, how you doing tonight? Ed's on every week. Appreciate you coming on.
Love Ed. That's great.
Heard it will eventually be on Netflix for those not near a theater. Do you know when? So what is up with Netflix?
Well, Ed, and everybody listening, if you want to see this film succeed, first things first, demand it at your theater. Call your local theater and say, we have a community of people that want to see this film. Please book it. Because it's a heck of a lot easier if the theater calls our distributor than if our distributor has to burn down the phone of the theater, right? So we want to see it in as many theaters as possible. That gives communities power. We're doing Q&As, we're doing events in all of those theaters across the country. Now, eventually, it will come time for us to get it onto a streaming platform. Same thing. You have to go on the internet right now and type in request a title, Netflix. Type that into Google. There'll be a page that comes up, Netflix page. You don't even have to be a Netflix member. And you can type Common Ground into request a title. I tell everybody in your life to request Common Ground. Let's get, 10 million requests to Netflix, Because I'll tell you what's happening right now. I'm gonna let you guys in. We haven't really told many people this. We are being pressured right now from some of the big streaming companies to censor this film. We are being pressured to take important parts of the film that Americans need to know out of the film because they're either scared or they don't understand it, or maybe so and so's invested with so and so. We don't know why. We're just, we're making up reasons here, but we're not making up that we've been pressured to censor it. So if you want to see the truth about farming in this country, I suggest you do everything in your power to demand this film at your theater and demand it from the streamers. Every vote at the box, every ticket at the box office is a vote. And if you don't get to see it at theater, go to request a title. That's what you type into Google. Request a title, Netflix, and that page will come right up. Boy, oh boy, you can type Common Ground right in there. Oh,
Yeah,
they'll love
Rachel,
that.
you want to put that down there and maybe
So
people
that's
can.
awesome. So what Jeff's saying, great, thanks.
Yeah, that was on his questions for biblical.
Yeah. And then we got Claudia on. How you doing, Claudia?
Hi, Claudia. She says, I'm excited to see this film. I know Kiss the Ground really made me want to be a part of the movement and looking forward to seeing Common Ground. The time is right. Thank you, Josh. God bless you.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Next
Is that
question.
Deanna again?
Yeah, Deanna. I know you all about I'm so I know you all about looking at facts and science. You must also then consider and research the power of soil biology to remediate the chemicals out of the soil to keep it out of the food, the air, and the water. I know the chemical is the target. Have you yet to tackle a film about what these major companies are selling to the public, disguised as food full of sugar, fillers, and preservatives?
Oh, I think you're gonna love the film. I think you're gonna, I think it hits on these subjects. I think it
It
does.
does.
It
Yeah.
really does. This is it.
Deanna's another longtime listener. She's been on the podcast.
Great.
They've got a process on their farm where they're using the indigenous soil to create the biology that's within your context, your farm, and then spread
Oh,
that across the farm. So
that is amazing.
yeah, it's a
Yeah,
great
and
concept.
yeah, look, we've got to get back to whole foods, real foods, farmer-grown foods. It's like we were
Well,
doing
Josh,
this.
your state, the state of California, I just read, did something pretty great, and I think it's for us all to follow, but they're proposing a bill to ban red dye in all foods.
Yeah, that's a big thing in California. California.
I know.
But hey, look, I think, yes, we need to take the bad stuff off the shelves. But the way that happens is we choose the good stuff.
Yeah.
Companies will sell more of whatever they sell, right? The more we buy of the stuff around the edges of the grocery store and the less we buy of the boxes, bags, and cartons in the middle, the more
But
that's going to be a
Josh,
focus.
there's a problem, I think. I think people trust our food system that
Oh my gosh.
they
Don't.
think, why would someone put something on the shelf that would harm us?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I'm
Wow.
sure it's regulated. And so I get a lot of people, maybe you want to address this. I get a lot of people that say, well, if you can go in the grocery store and buy it, it's got to be safe.
Oh man. They should have eaten the school lunch program that we had in Louisiana when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It probably glowed.
Some of the highest salmonella, some of the highest bacteria content and meat in the country. I think, part of what's interesting about Common Ground, when you guys see who are listening, when you see the film, you will see a former FDA advisor. You will see a former USDA, one of the top USDA scientists. You will see one of the former top USDA educators whose job it was to educate farmers. All of these people are former for a reason. It wasn't because their agencies were doing a good job. It's because they had a moral conscience. And what we found time and time again is we'll speak to people inside an agency and they'll say, well, listen, I can tell you this stuff, but you can't film me saying it. I'm going to tell you off the record what's going on. The only people who can talk about it are the whistleblowers or the people who left, right? And so what we find with food, particularly with the FDA, is yes, there are guidelines, there are rules, but it is a system that is easily gamed. And if you trust the FDA over trusting your local farmer, who you can look at and you can see, and they'll invite you to their farm and ranch, you have put your trust in, sadly, you have put your trust in the wrong place.
Yeah, that's awesome. What was Claudia making a comment there?
Yeah, she said that is like people say, if it is FDA approved, it is safe.
Right.
So we know that's not quite the case.
Well, Josh, this has been awesome. We need to, we didn't really, we got into common ground. I loved your story to get to this spot, but people, go out and see the movie. You've got to see this movie. You've probably heard a lot about the chatter on social media. Witness it for yourself. There's going to be some people that are going to be upset, and there's going to be some people that are going to be, yes, it's finally, it's about time. So Carol and I are so honored to be part of this movie. Thank you, Josh, for finding us and getting us to be part of this. It's just been awesome.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
How did you find us?
Well, ironically, because you guys went to Washington, D.C., it was all backwards, right? That's how I found you.
Yeah.
Because we were very interested in what was going to happen in that room with the House Ag Committee. And I was like, now who are these people from Indiana who are doing regenerative organic agriculture? And so that one thing led to another. But you were bold and you were brave, and you took a stand for your country. And you did it in a very kind and straightforward way. And I thought, wow, these people are cool. I need to know more about these people, you know?
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. What are some of the closing comments there before we end?
If these substitutes for conventional herbicides are working great and cost competitive, would we need a ban on chemicals?
Well, we didn't need a ban on trains when cars became popular, you know?
Yeah.
I think what we want is we want the market to decide, you know? Yeah, look, getting government involved, it's always a double-edged sword, because when you write a bill, there's always pork that gets shoved into that bill, you know? So what if the market just said, like, you know, hey, we don't want that thing anymore. We want this thing over here. It's better, you know? Yeah.
Lots of thank you to Josh and Rebecca.
Yeah.
Thanks for your honesty, aww, your point of view, and we will see the film.
Yeah.
Well, bless all of you guys, and thank you, Carol and Rick, for having me on. It's an honor. Right. Rebecca sends her best to you all, and we're just, you know, we're excited for the regenerative revolution. It's we want farmers to succeed. We want communities to succeed. We want families to succeed. It's the way we see it. It's a no-brainer, and hopefully other people watch the movie and get involved, you know.
Well, thank you, everyone who spoke up tonight. There's a lot of people in that list that are on every week. We can't do this without you guys. Thank you so much, Josh. It's been an honor to have you on here this evening. I know you're busy. You got a premiere tomorrow, I think, is it Dallas? Is that right?
Dallas, Texas. Yep. Dallas,
and,
Texas.
I mean, it's hard to decide on, you know, to divide and conquer, because you got so many going down all at once right now. So
yeah.
Thanks for taking the time to come on here, and thank you for doing this movie, and We didn't even talk. I think there may be a number three, but we'll have that discussion for another day. But
Yeah.
go see Kiss the Ground. Get you if you saw it 2 years ago, see it again to kind of refresh your memory and get ramped up, and then go see Common Ground. It's at a theater near you. Please go see it. Josh, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. And
As
support your
always.
local farmers and ranchers, all of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a great night. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.